morning. We're grateful the Lord's given us another day and another Lord's day and another week, and we're grateful to be here again at Black Oak this morning, and appreciate health and strength and travel and mercy and grace, and the opportunity and the invitation to be here. Let me say before I read or from the scripture this morning, I appreciate all of you that were able to be a part of the meeting over at Mount Zion a couple of weeks ago. And I appreciate you that were able to attend and be a part of it and prayed for us. And thank you for that. I appreciate your help there. And it's a blessing to see you there. And, of course, encouragement to us for you to be there. And we appreciate you participating in the meeting. And I appreciate you praying for us as we were there in that meeting that week. And thank the Lord for it. Blessing to be here today. I do need the Lord's help. So I'd ask you humbly to pray for me that the Lord would touch me and help me this morning. Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, I want to read there and then try to preach if the Lord would help us this morning. Luke chapter 5, and I'll begin reading with verse number 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, if you have a Bible and want to turn there, I'll give you a moment to find the passage, and then we'll preach from this passage, the Lord being our helper. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, and we'll probably read down through verse 11 I want to read through, and then ask the Lord to bless us and help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible said, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Lord, I thank you today for the privilege to pray. I do thank you, dear Lord, for the day that you've given us and the night, Lord, that you've watched over us and protected us. And I thank you, Lord, for the week and, Lord, the blessings of life. I thank you, Lord, for every material and temporal blessing that you have bestowed upon us to make life a little easier, make it a little more enjoyable as we travel through, Lord, this world. I thank you most of all for the spiritual blessings you've bestowed upon us. I thank you for saving me. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for the joy, the peace that we have, that passeth understanding. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the nation we live in. I thank you, dear Lord, for the call of my life to preach. And I thank you for the Word of God you blessed me to read from. Help me now as I endeavor to proclaim the truths that are in this Bible. I pray, Lord, that you'd, Lord, give me heavenly wisdom and spiritual understanding and insight. And I pray, Lord, that you would breathe upon us that we might preach the Word of God. I pray for strength physically upon my body and my voice. I pray for strength spiritually, Lord, upon my heart and mind, that I might understand and preach the Word of God as it is to men, women, boys, and girls as they are. May the Word of God go forth this morning from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And then may you prepare our hearts to receive what you, Lord, would speak to us. May the Lord have hearing ears and receptive hearts and obedient spirits. May we all be drawn closer to you by the means of this meeting, of this service. May we glean and gather from your word that would bless and benefit our lives, that would cause us to be more conformable to the image of your dear Son. Oh, dear Lord, help us now. Don't leave us like we've come. Don't leave us unchanged. But change us for the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd work effectually and mightily in all of us. Have mercy and help us this morning. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, above everything, may your name be glorified and magnified among us this morning. And what you're pleased to do in, through, and for us, we'll bow our worthy head and thank you for every bit of it. We ask everything we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing as we read the Word of God and prayed together. I guess my thought would come out of verse 6 of our text this morning that we read, when the Bible said, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. I simply want to talk to you this morning on how to get a net full. How to get a net full. The disciples, according to this scripture, had toiled all night and were the next day on the seashore washing their nets and were out of their boats. They were washing their nets because they had toiled all night. According to Simon Peter's testimony, they had taken nothing. So they had spent an all night toiling on the water of the Lake of Gennesaret, absolutely taken nothing in their net. But now in verse number 6, the Bible said, and when they had this done, when they had this done, when they had followed the command of the Lord, when they had obeyed what Jesus had said to them, the Bible said they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. They got a net full of fishes. Now all through the night they've not been able to, but now after they had this done, they were able to get a net full of fishes. Surely all of us in our Christian walk, surely all of us in our living for the Lord and our walking for the Lord are interested in our net being full. That is, in us having fullness of joy, in us having fullness of grace, fullness of knowledge and understanding in the things of the Lord. Interested in having all the blessings that God wants us to have. And yet so many times we live our life. Yet so many times there are days and weeks and months that pass by. There are the nights of our life when we toil, my friend, and wind up with an empty net. God wants our life to be full. God wants our hearts to be satisfied. Amen? The Bible said, speaking of our soul, that it we should delight ourselves in the fatness. I believe God wants us to be full of peace, full of joy, full of His knowledge and His understanding. Amen? I don't think God saved us to leave us empty. To leave us, my friend, unsatisfied or unfulfilled. Oh, my friend, how quickly many of us, after we're saved, and after we follow God, how we reach a point where our life is empty. And we're toiling, my friend, through the night of this world, and coming up only, my friend, empty-handed, with a net full, my friend, of the wrong things, the things that do not satisfy, the things that will not feed us nor sustain us. Can you imagine they were washing their nets for they had taken out of that lake my friend, the weeds, my friend, the trash, my friend, the rocks, whatever had been caught in their net, yet
without a fish, yet without something, my friend, how to satisfy their hunger. Amen? And so, the Lord Jesus instructed them, my friend, and when they followed His instruction, they got a net full. Amen? So let's look at it if we can. This morning, things I've thought about, I trust God will touch it this morning. How to cause us, how to follow this pattern, how to follow this prescription, and get our net full. Are you interested in a net full? I am this morning. I want to be filled, my friend, with all the fullness that God has for us in Christ. Amen. I so noticed in the first verse as we began to read how the Bible said how the people pressed upon the Lord Jesus to hear the Word of God. My friend, they pressed upon Him. They surrounded Him. My friend, they kept coming in closer upon Him until He was surrounded. And they kept getting closer because they wanted to hear what the Word of the Lord said. Amen. I believe to have our net filled, we'll have to have a hunger. We'll have to have a thirst for the Word of God. Amen. It's easy sometimes for our mind and heart to get dull of hearing the Word of God. You see, the flesh doesn't really like the Word of God. The Word of God does not pacify or satisfy the flesh. And so, my friend, everything else in the world is geared to feed the flesh, how to pacify the flesh, how to satisfy the flesh. Amen. That's why we have entertainment. That's why we have amusement parks. My friend, because it does something for the flesh. And so, when the Word of God is preached and taught and read and studied, the flesh gets no enjoyment out of that. It doesn't satisfy the flesh. And so sometimes when we're more carnal-minded than we are spiritual-minded, when we're walking after the flesh instead of after the Spirit, our hunger and our desire to hear the Word of God weakens and wanes. Amen. And we may read it, but it's just another book to us. We may come to church to hear it, but we're sitting there and our mind's somewhere else. And so it goes in one ear and out the other. Amen. And I know you have to have an ear to hear. Am I feeling a physical ear? But you've also got to have a spiritual ear. And you've got to have your heart and your mind tuned in to the right station in order to hear the Word of God. If you don't, it'll just be another sermon. It'll just be someone making another speech. But if you ever get your heart tuned right, and ever get your spirit right, and understand that the things of this world is not what you need most of all, but it's to hear the Word of God. Jesus Himself said to Satan, when Satan tempted Him, to turn the stones, my friend, into bread so He could eat. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'll tell you, friend, we must have the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. And this crowd of people have pressed upon Christ to hear the Word of God. Amen. They, my friend, wanted to hear Him give a message. My friend, how to give instruction, how to speak to them the God. Thank God. Oh, that would give them strength for their life. Amen. I know how to get in that pool. We must press how to hear the Word of God. It don't just come naturally. I mean, it's in there. But you got to deny the flesh. And you got to press. Am I being beyond? I thank God. The things of this life. In order to get your ear tuned in. And your heart receptive. To what God has to say. Amen. Oh, God help us, my friend, a hearing of the Word of God, a press upon the Lord Jesus, how to hear the Word of God. We ought to press the men that we go to hear preach, we ought to press upon them, or around them, how to hear the Word of God. Somebody said, are we to gather around? Yeah. We ought to put pressure on the men of God to preach. Amen. Well, there is a lot of pressure on pastors and preachers, evangelists in our day. There's a pressure to compromise. There's a pressure, my friend, to preach what folks want to hear. My friend, to go along with the crowd. My friend, and what others are doing. But oh, we ought to press upon those men of God that we go to hear preach. Our pastor, your pastor, and other preachers, how to hear the Word of God. That is, thank God, how we ought to expect them to preach. And we ought to pray for them how to preach. Amen. Ask God how to set them on fire and let them preach like they never have preached before. Oh, my. For it is that Word of God that we need desperately in our daily life to help us. Are you listening? Not just to me. Am I being entertained by the flesh? But God, get down to where we're living. God, get to our innermost being. How far is the Word that cleanses? It is the Word that sheds light on our pathway and on the our standing, and we'll never grow spiritually or be fulfilled or satisfied unless the Word of God is preached and practiced in our lives. Amen. We must have the Word of God. We can't just talk about it. We can't just say we love it. We must take it in. Thank God. We must hide it in our heart that we might not sin against thee. The Word of God is what sanctifies us. Amen. And keeps us where we need to be with God. Amen. I press upon the preacher to preach. Can I ask you this? How long's it been since you asked God how to preach on preacher? Amen. And let him, and did you say, Lord, let him preach what I need, not what I want. Or let him preach what will benefit my life and the life of my family. That'll help me. Oh, Lord, it may go against my brain and against my feelings. Let him preach to me that in the long run will cost me to be like Christ. Oh, and to be pleasing in your sight. I need to go on this morning, but we need to press as they pressed upon Christ. This pressing to hear the Word of God caused him to look for a ship to get in. Amen. And pull away from the shore where he could preach, where he could teach the people that had come to hear the Word of God. He looked around. I found Simon's boat. And he said, Simon, is this your boat? He said, how would you move a little way from the shore? How would you, thank God,
Oh, row this boat. I'd gone just a little way. Immerse 3 from the land. Secondly, not only we need to press how to hear the word of God to get a net full, but we'll have to push away from the shore. Amen. Yeah. To get a net full, you'll have to push away from the shore. Amen. You can't live, God, my friend, like the world. We have to live in it, but you can't live like it. Amen. We'll have to push away a little from the shore. Amen. God help us. Oh my. Are you listening to me? I say to you, God, there is a constant battle, my friend, being brought in to the cares and the things of this life that caused us to abandon our pilgrim character and lose our fellowship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe anything causes us to lose our relationship, but there are a multitude of things that cause us to lose our fellowship with God. Amen. And the main thing is getting too adjusted to this world, to letting things become idolatrous in our life. From putting other things ahead of God. And not letting Him have the preeminence. And we have to live in the world. We can't go out of the world. But Jesus said, Father, keep them from the world and the evil that is in the world. Amen. That Bible said in Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. The day of the Lord, that's what he's talking about. Romans chapter 12, you know it well, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What's he talking about? Pushing a little away from the shore. Yeah. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do you get transformed from the world? Amen. Now all of us had a transformation the day we got saved. God transformed our inward man from the creature that it was, from the Adamic nature it was under. Hey, God transformed us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. God made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you hearing me? And we're no longer under the dominion of sin or the power of sin. We no longer live in the realm of sin. Hey, God. But we've been made new. Transformed. Regenerated. Born again. Whatever word you want to use. But may I remind you this morning, friend, that it's possible, though we've been transformed in our heart and in our soul to that new creature in Christ, that it is possible to be conformed to this world. And the only way to be not conformed is to be transformed. So I got to get saved every day or every few minutes? No. But he said be transformed. I'm not rather renewing or regenerating or being born again of the Spirit. But all that renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. You see what we have to do. Thank God. The inward man's renewed day by day. But the outward man perish. And the outward mind, thank God, my friend, wants to rule over or take over the inward man. So you gotta have him renewed. And you gotta bring him in subjection. Hallelujah. And if you don't, you'll be conformed to this world. And you'll think my Amen. And it infiltrates you. Amen. You still have that nature of Adam. Hey, hear me, friend. How to battle with. But you can be renewed. How am I renewed? Push away from the shore. Get in the book. Read the Word of God. Hey, let it become alive in you. Oh, hear me. Hey, God. Oh, am I freedom? I walk as the Spirit of God leads you and directs you and shake off anything that appears evil and that is unbecoming of a child of God. And I know the temptation. Hallelujah. I mean, there's always been the temptation and the tendency to follow the world to a certain degree, to be conformed to the world, to be like them. But if we're going to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, we've got to be transformed. Our minds got to be renewed. Through prayer, through the Word of God. Amen. Through letting the Holy Spirit direct our life. Always been the tendency to be conformed to the world. Amen. It's always there because we're in this world, we're in this flesh, in this body of death. And naturally, I thought it wants to be accepted. The carnal man, the natural man, wants to fit in. Amen. He don't want to take ridicule. Hey, God, he don't want to be looked down his nose. Have somebody look down their nose at him. He don't want to be set aside. Our lives there are ignored. And that's what happens quite often when we take a stand for Christ. And when we live holy and keep our life clean and our mouth clean. Anybody hearing me? Oh, my. But there's a greater temptation than ever has been to be conformed to the world, because so many of the church people today, so many of the so-called Christians today are conforming to this world. Amen. And not only do we look at a world that wants us to be like them and join in and not to walk separate, but when you walk separate from the world and you follow a different course and a different pattern and a different way of life, it condemns them. But not only are they pulling at us, but now there's a church, a crowd, and so-called Christians that are patterning their lives and conforming after the world. And say, I still am saved. I'm still a Christian. Yet I can participate in all these matters of the world. And I know there are matters of personal conviction. I'm not here to preach to you this morning, but there is a standard and there is a line for us to live by and to walk. Are you hearing me? And God expects it out of us. Hallelujah. And today, our so-called churches and their members have crossed that line. And they say, we can do this and still be happy and still have joy and still have the power of God. Therefore, we look at them and say, they're successful. They're getting by. Why can't we join them and do like them? They're all doing it. Not just the world. The church people are doing it. So why can't we live like them and be as happy as they are? I'll tell you, friend, why we can't. Because we don't follow, thank God, their example when they err. And when they walk out of that book, amen, thank God, we don't take a ball back to them and try to kill them. But we understand, thank God, that sin is deceptive. And Satan wants us to conform out of this world. But we must stay with the book. We must stay with the Bible. We must stay with the Word of God. Are you hearing me? Amen. Oh, am I know what I'm preaching on this morning? I'm trying to preach on how to have your net full. First of all, you got to press upon
the man of God to hear the word of God. Amen. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Some folks want to tell a preacher how to preach or how not to preach. That's some folks' only idea of pressing upon a man of God. Or some people in the congregation will have a pet peeve, a pet sin, amen, or something that they deem to be wrong in everybody else's life that they have overcome in their life, and they want the preacher to preach on it every time he preaches. Because they're not guilty, but they sure like for him to wear everybody else out. Or yet they're harboring something in their own life that they don't want the preacher to say nothing about. So they always get the word to him somehow or another. Somehow through the grapevine, if they don't have enough function and brass to say it to him face to face. And a lot of them do nowadays. They don't think anything about telling a man of God how he ought to preach or what he ought not to say. Hey God, God didn't call you. He called and the man of God. Hallelujah. And the best thing for you to do is pray to your man of God. And if you feel like he's not preaching strong enough, pray it down on him. And if he's preaching too strong, pray God move it off of him. Are you hearing me? But you better be careful that you're not praying or talking about it. And just to satisfy and to justify your own way of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Oh my. Here's the word of the Lord that was pressed upon. Now here's the pushing away from the shore. Just a little from the land. Far enough away that they can hear Jesus preach, but far enough away that their presence did not keep him from preaching. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Bless His name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, the pastor of the evangelist has to be sociable and friendly enough that he can preach to the people. Amen. But he can't be your buddy. Amen. And he is in some ways your best friend, but he can't be your best friend. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me? He's got to be more than your fishing buddy, your hunting buddy. Thank God, he has to be more to you. Thank God, my friend, I've been the one you go out to eat with. And I'm not saying anything wrong with any of that. But if that's all you look at him as, he'll never preach to you. You'll all always have to see him as God's man preaching God's message. We'll have to get enough far enough from this world that we can proclaim to them the ministry or the message of reconciliation, that we can witness to them. But we have to push enough far away from them that they can't lay hold upon us. Amen. And we become like them. For when Samson said, if you'll shave off the 7 locks of my hair, I will be like other men. When Samson became like other men, he lost his power with God. When the church became like the world, she lost her power. You and I, when we become too much like the world, we lose our power, our influence.
Yes, right. Right.
Preaching right. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. So, first of all, they pressed upon. Second of all, they pushed away a little from the land. Thirdly, he said in verse number 4, after he got through speaking and preaching and teaching to the people, he said, now, Simon, launch out in the deep in your ship. You've just been a little way from land, but he said, now launch out in the deep and let down your net for a great draught of fishes. Go out further. You've been a little way from land. You had to be a little way from land
to, and I did, I had to be in your boat a little way from land to preach to the people. I think Jesus knew that being out there in that water and preaching off of that boat, that those words, that his voice carried on that water, and then there were mountains around that Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. So out there from that lake as that on that water, and his voice went forth, it carried much better than had he been on the shore. Hallelujah. You can't preach to a world in the middle of them. You've got to be out here a little from them. Woo! Not so much from them. I thought that they despise it. And they, of my friends, speak evil of your good. But you've got to be far enough away. And when you say, this is what God said, I know it's coming from heaven, and it's not of yourself.
Yeah, come on now, you're right.
Woo! That it echoes, that it carries. And it's got weight to it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh my. Well, not only is they're pushing away, but now they are paddling further in the deep. May I say this? To have a net full, you're going to have a place. You're going to have some time that you spend alone with God.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
To get in the deep. Are you hearing me? Oh, you've got to have a spot, an altar. You've got to find a place somewhere. You've got to assign some time in the day. You've got to take out, amen, moments. Thank God, minutes, hours, whatever. You've got to take out, thank God, in order to launch out in the deep if you're going to have a net full.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, you can get a little way from shore, be separate and sanctify and proclaim the Word of God. But you must, oh, if you ever have a net full, get out in the deep. The crowd wouldn't fall in Simon and the Lord. It was just Simon and the Lord Jesus. At this time, it is just one boat. Thank God, out yonder in the deep, Jesus was in it. Simon Peter was there in his boat. He said, launch out in the deep. Let down your net. Hallelujah. There has to be some personal dedication and consecration in your life. There has to be a time. Thank God. So deep with God that you don't want to come back. And when He says go back, when He says head back to shore, go witness to others, go tell others, you dread it. Lord, just let me stay here. I'm enjoying this. Oh, our secret time, our devotion time, our prayer time, our personal time ought to become that real to us. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Amen. Bless His name. And the first time you go, there may not be no endowment even the second or the third time or half a dozen times. But as you continue to make your way and launch out in the deep, hey God, before you know it, you'll come to realize, hey, I'm getting something that I didn't get before. Hey God, I'm pulling up things that I never pulled up before. There's things getting in my net that I've never had before. I don't mean things unbiblical, unscriptural, or unspiritual, but I'm talking about just greater depths with God. And there is greater depth than just being saved.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Not only did they launch out, paddle out in the deep, but at the precise time, when Jesus said, now let down your net, Peter let down the net. Now he objected. He put his 2 cents worth in. Hallelujah. And I found out there's folks that do that. When you preach, they'll object and say, well, now wait just a minute here, because it goes against the grain. But Peter went ahead and done it. Because it was the word of the Lord. I may not like it, Peter said, but because you said it, I'm going to do it. And I don't mind folks like that. But a lot of folks will say, that's right, and they never follow it. Amen. Jesus said, there are those that say, Lord, Lord, but do not the things which I say. And it's not enough to holler amen and call him Lord and then not live or do what he told you or taught you or showed you to do. Doesn't help you. You'll never get a net full like that. But even though you resist and rebel at first, and your flesh will, when you go ahead and obey it, thank God, when you go ahead and say, I'll submit myself, I'll humble myself, thank God, I'll spit out my pride, I'll do it your way. Woo! Then the net can get full. Bless his name. Hallelujah. So here, he let down his net at the precise time. Now, there is a window of opportunity for all of us. And help us, Lord, to be careful not to let that window of opportunity get by us. The children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, after the 40 days, the spies viewed out the land, came back and brought back the report, had just a small window of time to go over and to go in. And they refused. Then when they realized they'd done wrong, they said, well, we'll just go on over anyhow. God said, well, you may go, but I ain't going with you. And they come back defeated. They come back unable to take the land because you've got to let down your net at the precise time. What Peter was saying was, Lord, we are professional, commercial fishermen. We do this for a living. We do it not only to provide meat for ourselves and our family, but we also do it, thank God, to make a living and put the meat on other people's table. We sell these fish. We know how to fish. And Lord, what I'm telling you is, we fish at night. That's when the school of fishes run through this lake. It's at night. Hey, hallelujah. I've been doing this all my life, and we always fish at night, and we always catch fish at night. But right here in the middle of the day, in the blazing sun, you're telling me to let down my net, or I'll put it down. I caught 100 times last night and never got one thing. Hallelujah. He said it don't look right to me, but Lord, because you say it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to be obedient out of what your word says, out of what you're telling me. And when it did, guess what? He got a net full of fishes. Woo! When you'll obey the word of God, whether you feel like it or not, whether you want to or not, but you'll bring yourself under subjection out of what he said to you. Woo! You'll find out that's when the net will get full. Amen. Bless his name. The net got so full that it began to break. Amen. The net got so full that one ship couldn't hold it. And Peter hollered and said, hey, bring that other ship. Hey, partners. Amen. Hey, co-workers. Amen. Hey, men. Hey, brethren. Bring that other ship. And the Bible said they had so many fish, they filled up both ships. And they still had so many that both ships started to sink on them. Are you hearing me? Oh, my. Oh, my. Someone said it right. Burdens will never sink you, but blessings will. We have to be more aware, more conscious, more on guard when God blesses us than when we're burdened. Because it's in those blessings that we get to feel like we did something. And our pride lifts us up and we're tempted then. And the man that thinketh he standeth, he better take heed, lest he fall. Or a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing. Thank God he's deceived himself. Oh, are you listening to me? And so, it's the blessing, but oh, they shared it with the other folks. It's such a net full. I'd like to be like the old Christians that I grew up around, that seemingly pretty reliably, pretty consistently had a net full.
Yes.
I think I was a little spoiled by being around them, because I got so used, Brother Danny, to being around them and sharing what was in their net, that a lot of times I failed to get my net full. And see, if all of us come to the church and none of us have a net full, nobody else will ever share. But if somebody's got a net full, then somebody else can take home a blessing. Somebody else can leave with a boat full or a ship full. Amen? Hallelujah. And then that'll be my last point. Not only did he share with them, but, of course, you know, Peter fell on his knees at Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And he said, "Simon, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Peter come to realize he was dealing with somebody that wasn't just normal somebody. And Peter realized he wasn't worthy that this man should be in his presence, sail in his ship. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us never to get to the place in our life that somehow we feel like we deserve His salvation, or that we deserve His fellowship, or that we deserve His presence in our life. For all of us are undeserving and unworthy this morning. And if we got justice and what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But it's His divine mercy and love and grace that makes Him sail in our ship and have fellowship with us and be able to get our net full. Woo! And when they brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. It is important for them to get a net full. But when they got a net full and overly full, then Jesus helped them to understand there's something that was more satisfying than just having a net full. And that was reaching out to somebody else. I do believe in our Christian life when we can get to the point that we don't just live so we can have a blessing or feel the presence of God, or we don't just go to church so we can be blessed, but we live so others can be blessed through us. And we go to church that we might share with others. We'll understand that is a greater fulfillment. That is a greater calling than just having our own net full. To catch men is greater than just to catch fish. Amen. To see sinners saved, to see saints edified, to see our brother and our sister in Christ grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, or to cause us to have more satisfaction and a greater blessing than we ourselves enjoying the Lord.
Yes, thank God.
Was it Christ that said it, thus my joy is fulfilled? Was it little John that said it, thus my joy is fulfilled? When we can see others following in the right path, when we have had a hand in reaching out to others and helping others. We have promoted the gospel, and we have promoted the ministry of reconciliation. When we have helped to catch others, I'll tell you, we'll find out that even brings more satisfaction than getting our net full. When we've served others, we find out that that is really the height of Christianity, rather than pleasing ourselves. When the saints are edified and the body is edified, we find that that's the greater blessing. Do you need a net full this morning? Have you pressed to hear the Word of God lately? Or have you become dull of hearing? And has preaching just become mundane to you? It's something you've got to set through. And that you have to wade through and get through. Just so you can get about with the rest of your life. Such a burden to you, such a drudge to your life. Or is it your delight? Have you pushed away from the shore, or are you too mixed in with the crowd? Have you launched out in the deep? Have you obeyed His Word? Have you walked by faith? Have you taken Him at His Word, though carnally it doesn't look like that's the best way, but because He said do it that way, you've resigned to His Word, and that's faith. Yes. Make sure it's Him. Don't just out and do something to be doing it. But you double check and make sure it's the Word of God, and when it is, you go at it. I wonder, is your net full? Do you want it to be full this morning? Everybody stand, please. I'm through preaching. Sister will come and play on the piano. We'll give an opportunity to pray. Do you need to pray this morning? Do you need a net full? If so, would you come? While the sister plays on the piano. So full of it. You obey the Lord now.